listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's bad to the bone. That means it's time to go to Johnny B in Pittsburgh. Johnny B, call your shot.
Wow. Thank you so much, guys. I can never tell you how much that means to me.
Good.
So
let's go.
Here's what I got to call. Number one, I'd like to say shout out to Tyre Beaver of the Cleveland Browns. He's been incredible. I have to bring this on to Coach Pett. Now, I'm not being disrespectful. He forgets more football than I ever know. But we were talking about it with Matt last night, this defensive scheme. And even on the first play against the Raiders, the two linebackers were 7 yards deep. Paul Kruger cannot be asked to be in pass coverage. That's ludicrous. He has to be a stud. Second, third down, rush the cornerback only. And here's the thing that really concerns me, though. You're not putting the defensive players in a position to play what they are born to play. Kruger's a stud. He's like a Kevin Green. And also, I just feel that if this continues, there's no sacks on them. Look at the Patriots. How did they win? They killed the other team's quarterback. They were in their heads with out-of-the-box schemes. And I just feel that this game is definitely on Coach Patton to bring a stronger defense but a more aggressive attitude. And they're going to win, definitely. But let's just get this defense up and let's start blitzing.
I agree. And that's where how effective, though, it's not like we don't bring pressure, Nathan. And I know that, you know, you're immediately running to Pro Football Focus to
tell you how effective we've done.
Exactly. And if you saw it last night, if you watched that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, and Phil Simms made mention of it continually, how many times did Pittsburgh bring pressure?
A ton.
And they brought the same pressures, the same exact play consecutively, because it got close the first time, and a similar situation arose, and they brought the same exact pressure again.
We blitzed Ryan Fitzpatrick in week one on 9 of his 24 dropbacks. So, pretty solid percentage.
Yeah.
9 of 24 in week number one. In week number two, and we didn't get one single sack, as we all well know. In week number two, we blitzed, when it came after Marcus Mariota, the rookie quarterback, I'm going to guess it's going to be higher, on 19 of 46.
Okay, which is about 30%?
More than that.
19 of 36, you said?
Of 46. And then in the final one, this past week against Derek Carr.
Yeah, like 40%, 45.
We came after Derek Carr on just 7 of 32 dropbacks. So we did not blitz Derek Carr. Now, Derek Carr coming into that game had been the number one quarterback in the NFL against the blitz. And coming out of that game, he was the number one quarterback. When we blitzed him on those 7, he was 5 of 7 for 105 yards and a touchdown and a quarterback rating of a perfect 153.3.
Wow.
If you're going to blitz, you've got to be effective. The Browns have now blitzed in the two losses 16 times and have gotten there 0 times.
Yeah. So I agree. Johnny B makes a great point. Bring the pressure.
But you got to get there. It's not enough just to dial it up.
I understand. And that's where, in my past history, evaluating film, and I think the offensive line and the young back in Melvin Gordon are going to be targets in my eyes for us to bring more pressure. But you have to be on point in calling a pressure when you expect to win consistently. Meaning, if they come out, if you're seeing a certain formation on a certain down and distance, that you know it's going to be a four-man route with, you know, 3 wide receivers and the tight ends all in a route. That means they have the 5 offensive linemen and a potential running back to pick up your 5-man rush. And that's where executing your scheme to a T and being confusing and showing a pre-snap look and your post-snap look being different. All those confusing factors of this defense really need to be a part of who we are to pressure a quarterback.
Absolutely, and it's going to be something they've got to do and do effectively if they want to beat San Diego. Phillip Rivers will make you pay if you don't get to him, get him off of his spot, and he's one of the very best at climbing the pocket. That's why I think this is an important game, by the way, for Danny Shelton or whoever is playing the nose in nickel situations to push that pocket back. Philip Rivers is at his best when he has the ability to step up and climb the pocket, and we need to take that away from him.
No, I agree. You're absolutely right, and it's something that he's done his entire career, you know, climbing that pocket, making – but that's his ability, his way of buying time. Other guys deviate out of the pocket. He climbs the pocket, creates a shorter throw for him with his eyes down the field, down the center of the field, so he can go 52 and a third yards either way. But how do you do that? And I agree with you, but the one thing that we have to be careful of is you got to get that push, but then if you're only bringing four, in some cases, there's going to be that extra lineman that's going to be scanning and can blast. You know, that Danny Shelton can push the center back 2 yards, but if that guard comes over and helps, he's going to wall Danny Shelton to one side, and it's going to create that seam for Philip Rivers to step up in. So it's, like I said, confusing pre-snap looks, where you're coming, where you're not. Put question in their minds. Because these are guys, these are backups in the National Football League, and they're already nervous and questioning themselves, but excited about the opportunity. Use their inexperience against them.
We need to dominate. If they have a backup center, a backup left guard, a backup left tackle, that side of the line, and especially what's the quickest path to the quarterback through the A-gap, we need to dominate that A-gap between that center and that left guard.
Yes.
We need to own that A-gap. We need to live there. We need to walk in there, spray paint, the Browns were here, right in that A-gap, and drop a Snickers wrapper while we're at it. That's what we need to do in that A-gap. Now, Philip Rivers on the season, when blitzed, 78% completions. He's 25 of 32, 303 yards. That's 9.5 an attempt, 2 touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 127. He has been better against the blitz than any other situation this season. So if you're going to blitz Philip Rivers, he's going to diagnose it. He's seen it all.
I was just going to go there.
He's seen it all. You got to get there.
Yeah, you do. You got to affect him. Hit him, knock him down. Pass breakups are another thing that frustrate a quarterback and negate a passing game, or at least a quick passing game. Is on your way, once you identify a pass, rush, put your hands up, knock those balls down.
Knock them down, and you got to get there. I thought yesterday one of the best blitzes I saw maybe all year and coverage adjustments was the one the Steelers made where they trapped him into throwing that quick out underneath, and it was a total trap coverage, something they'd never shown on tape before, and they come up with the interception.
Yeah, and that's what you find from time to time when you have a strong recognition of what a team's going to do in a situation, and you use it as an advantage.
And you're exactly right. Know their tendencies. And right now they're going to have a tough time figuring out exactly what their tendencies are with their offensive line, how they're going to respond to certain situations. You know how these guys are going to be coached to respond, but with three backups, they might not be able to respond the right way every single time. All right, let's go right now to – finish our calls up, and then we're going to go to Joe Hayden. We're going to hear from him. Apparently, he had a lot to say today in the Browns locker room. Steve in Zanesville, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Nathan. After last Friday, I was afraid you were going to blacklist me.
You don't want to be on the Stan ban list, do you?
No, but I'm the one that took Oakland by 12.
That's all right.
Okay. Well,
and you did not. You were not right.
No, I wasn't right, but I was almost right.
That's a cover is a cover, my friend. A cover is a cover. But nonetheless, what's up, Steve?
I like the Browns in this one. They're going up against a somewhat weakened team, injury depleted.
Yep.
I think I like them plus two. I mean, minus two. The Browns minus two.
The Browns are going to win this one outright, Steve. All right, you were directionally right last week, so I hope that you are directionally correct again today. The Browns, 7.5-point underdogs going against the Steelers, second biggest underdogs of the week in the National Football League. Steve, I hope you are correct again this week. We'll take it. We'll take the split. Let's go now to Chris in San Diego. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to call my shot. I think the Browns are going to win 35-21.
35?
Oh, yeah. I think we're going to put up some points this game. I think Josh McCown's actually going to get the ball to Travis Benjamin when he gets past the defensive backs this time. It's going to be crazy, but it's going to happen. And I also think, obviously, our defensive line has to dominate since they're missing three offensive linemen in this game. And, yeah, that's pretty much what I got. All right, listen to your guys' commentary. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. 35. If the Browns score 35, I'd like to think they're going to win more often than
that. Hope so.
It would be 3-0 if they've scored 35 points in all three games this year.
Hindsight's 20/20.
And it's 10 is a long way from 35.
It is.
20 is a long way from 35. So it's not like they were all that close to it, but we certainly would take that. The defense of this team's got to step up. The secondary of this team has got to step up. Joe Haden went off in the locker room today, and I think he knows what is at stake for this football team and what they must do. Let's hear from the Browns' leader at cornerback right now.
I'm ready to go. Ready to go. I'm going to be fine, though. You guys coach about that one.
Will you have to play with some kind of flak jacket on or something?
No.
No?
I don't like playing like that.
No. And you did something to your finger, too, obviously. Yeah. For that, too. So you got a couple things going, huh?
Yeah, man. I'm trying to fight through it.
Does this flash you back to last game last year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's usually I do what you got to do, man. We're trying to get the defense right, and I feel like I got to be out there.
Can you talk about what faces you with Phillip Rivers and their trio of receivers?
Yeah, like I said, again, we're going against a very, very capable group. Allen's really nice, Stevie Johnson, Floyd, and then Phillip Rivers, that quarterback, and then their running back is special. You know, I like him coming out of college. So they're very, very capable. You know, Rivers, he runs the whole offense. He's a vet, man. He's a vet as they come. Understands the whole offense. He understands defenses really well. So, you know, we got to just make sure that how our defense is, we got to try to make sure he can fit it in the small windows.
You guys, you've got Gip with the groin. K1 is out. You're a little bit banged up. Do you guys really have to just be 100% on point, knowing that mentally, knowing physically you're not all
Yeah,
there?
Man. You know, when we got to just go. We got to go. This means no excuses. We're going to be out there. So, we're out there, so we got to be able to make plays. We got to be able to play to the top caliber that we put ourselves to. So, everybody's hurt. All over the league you have injuries. You're never going to just go in the game completely healthy. But we just know we gotta fight. We just got to do whatever we got to do to get this win.
Joe, you're the guy here, and you always draw the toughest assignment. How much of what happened with Cooper, there's been a lot said about it, how much of what happened was caused by the fact you were limited by the getting hurt on the first play?
Cooper, he was doing it a little bit of everybody. When we play our defenses, it's a little bit of everything, So at the end of the day, Cooper's a really, really good receiver. No excuses. He's a great receiver, and Carr was throwing the ball really well. So, so those things are going to happen. And I just know next week when I'm playing against San Diego, I'm trying to be out there and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
What about Phillip Rivers? What makes him so good?
He can make all the throws, and they give him the authority to make checks and change plays, and if he sees something, he'll check them out of a bad call into a better call. So just him being able to have that much control of the offense to be able to determine if he wants to have a run play or a pass play. So just the control, and then him knowing what's going on to be able to do that.
And Coach said that this is the best trio of receivers that you guys have faced so far this season. Is that how you see it?
They're solid, definitely. We've been facing some pretty good receiving courts, but all these dudes, man, they're very, very. Everybody's capable of making plays, so that's all you got to worry about.
Joe, Mike Patton said today that he really felt the defense was dialed in this week and focused. Was that the sense that you got going through the week, that you guys really are kind of dialed in and focused?
Yeah, the same. It happens like every time we're up or down, we play a half good, we play a first half good, we play second half bad, we play first half bad, second half good. We just got to put a full game together, and everybody, we always talk about it, and we come to practice and we're super focused and locked in. But like we said, it has to show on Sundays. There's no point in talking about it. We were definitely locked in at practice because we know that our performance that we had last week wasn't up to our standards. So definitely we were locked in and we were ready to go.
Dante said yesterday that expectations haven't changed at all for the defense. Where's the confidence level?
It's been three games, man, and when you're out here, everything is so, it's on you every week, and if you make one mistake, it's like everything blew up. But we know what we have in our room. We're confident in what we have. We know that if we go put in the work and we played up to our ability, what we have and our standard is still our standard. So outside talking everything, man, we just know we gotta just leave that out, because we know no matter what, win is going to be too much. We did good, or lose is going to be y'all suck. So end of the day, we got to just keep it even keel, and we know exactly what we got to do to play to the level that we want to play.
What about there were some people questioning whether or not Dante had, you know, kind of gotten old.
That's ridiculous. Period. That's ridiculous. Dante's still one of the best safeties in the league. You know, you have off games. People, the other teams are also good. And, I mean, Dante, his work ethic and the way that he practices and prepares, I mean, I expect him to come out this weekend and ball out, you know. That for people to say that, it just makes no sense. That's the type of stuff that makes people not want to listen to what anybody has to say.
This is part of what you're feeling, you think, part of It's
years of struggle, and every time something happens, it's just like a overreaction. If we win, and it's overreaction, like we're going to the Super Bowl. We lose, it's like, oh man, you suck again this whole season. So it's just an overreaction. It's a big thing, and I've been here for 6 years now, so I understand what it is. So inside, internally, as long as we know what's going on outside, man, it's, you're going to get talk. You're going to get different talk. You're going to get a lot of bad things because you're used to losing and expecting a lot and everything like that. So we know what it is. And we're just ready to go out and ball and prove to ourselves what we got because we know we have in the locker room.
Isn't that football, though? I mean, it's like a 10-game winning streak or losing streak in baseball, you know. Play only 16.
Well, 16 games. That's what I'm saying. You only have a select amount of opportunities. So, you know, they're going to go to the extreme when you win, go to the extreme when you lose. But we got to stay model. We got to make sure that we don't keep the outside noise out of here. We know what we have. And every day we come into practice, we got to work on corrections of what we did wrong and just get ourselves better, understand what we have. And that's success is basically what we've been doing.
By the same token, you know, you sound like that Dante stuff, you know, kind of gets to you a little bit. Did that whole flap with the whole Johnny and
anonymous start to bed. No, that it's so much stuff that goes on. I didn't even know about that. You know, so it's just basically we know as long as you keep what we got inside and everybody here, I feel like we're on the same page. The team is on the same wavelength and all the other stuff, it happens. And I honestly don't pay attention to it. Seriously, I don't pay attention to it anymore because I can't. When they talked about the Dante thing, I heard like earlier this morning, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Like 31 other teams would love to have Dante on their team. You know what I'm saying? He's a baller. He's a pro bowler. He knows how to make plays. He's a consummate professional. So, I mean, when you hear stuff like that, it just makes you like, they don't know what they're talking about.
Do you think outside noise is more prevalent here in Cleveland?
I would say so. I would say it's all over. It's all over. You know, you get a lot of wavy things. But, I mean, I've been here, and I could tell you it's definitely you get hit upside your head when you lose, and they'll – pump you up to the sky if you want. So, you know, it's just a real wave. You got to stay on the, you got to keep it in the middle.
Jordan, I just saw a post on Instagram. You kind of, were you taking crap on there?
Man, it's just, yeah. It's just, and that's the thing. Where, like, a lot of people, we're just kind of, you just kind of be over it because people, they're going to have stuff to say. And especially with social media, they feel like they can touch you. I mean, you know, anything they can say again, that can try to hurt you. But, you know, it's just, we know what it is now. Inside, just keep everything in house, and just, we know what we got here.
Do you feel like maybe some of you guys would play with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder, you know, like Dante this week, or anything from some of that outside stuff,
right? I think, I mean, you just kind of know that it's we don't need any other fake juice. We don't need anybody else to help motivate us. We know at the end of the day, when we don't play well, we understand we don't play well. We understand that we can play better. We can do our job a lot better. So when we come in the next week, it's not about what everybody else thinks. It's about what standard we hold ourselves to. We hold ourselves to very high standards. Dante holds us to a very high standard. So if we feel like we played under our standard, and we know we did, it means it's nothing to then bash about. It's like, okay, you had a bad game. It's time to go back, study a tape, see what you did wrong, and make the correction. So I think that's where it is with us. It's mean it's not like, oh, you guys suck. No, you had a bad game. Let's go study. Let's go figure out what we did wrong and make it better. Because you have all professionals that have been in the league for a long time, know how to play the game, and it's just like, all right, bet. Now, we have to do better. It's not, nobody else has to tell us that. Coaches don't even have to tell us that. We know what we did wrong.
Now the TMZ's waiting you for entertainment tonight to swing by or something?
I don't know. Forget TMZ. I'm good on them.
In some respects, though, are you, even though that those extremes, like, you know, they want to kill you when you lose, mm-hmm. and they want to punk you up when you win, in some ways, do you feel like you're at least in a city where the passion for the team is so intense that you're
oh no it. For sure that's the thing. I mean, that passion is real. We know, I understand that completely.
Yeah.
But it's still the wave, you yeah. know, it's the wave, and we know what the wave is, and I understand since I've been here that I know how the fans are, how much they want to win, and so that's why I hold it against the head, not the heart.
Yeah.
Do you that's kind of what I was asking before, do you talk to your buddies around the league, is it the same in other cities, or is it really more
up and down here with the fans?
I know. I say it was the same everywhere. Because, you know, once the Patriots started losing, they're talking about Brady and his supporting cast is washed up. They don't have no new players. So, you know, look at them now. So, you know, it's all over the league where if you get praised too much for winning and then when you lose, then everybody needs to get out of there.
There's no question they remain confident in this locker room. He remains confident in his teammates, and all the noise from the media isn't going to affect them. But it clearly has ruffled the feathers because he was very adamant in his defense of Dante Whitner and this defense.
Yeah, and to be very frank, that's and it, more so than just Dante Whitner, it will not stop until everyone sees it on the field and picks up the mantra of this year's football team, which is words into action. And right now, it's great words, and now I'm ready for the action on Sunday.
We're all about that action, boss. Let's get it on Sunday against the Chargers. When we come back, it's time for the kid to make his Friday appearance here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll do a little higher or lower. We'll also pick the games and do a little Friday forecast here over the next couple of segments. So a lot to get to when we return with the kid on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.